You are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V. Right here on RBN. That's right, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Coming straight to you from Poland and relayed through Austin, Texas. Brought to you by TLBTalk.com, Freedom of Speech Social Network. We don't need no stinking Facebook. We don't need no stinking Gab. We don't need no stinking Twitter. TLBTalk.com is where you need to be for freedom of speech. Yeah, so not much to report to you guys about anything today. I'm just like the rest of America and getting into what my good friend Daryl would say, parlor tricking. So I'm very curious as to how these midterm elections are going to turn out. From what I've seen thus far, the Democrats have a terrifying lead, even with everything that's going on. Yeah, if you ask me, I know the globalist New World Order has co-opted, taken over Democratic Party. And so we're going to see a lot of tomfoolery, a lot of results that don't make any sense. And I, just like the rest of you, I want to sit and watch it. So for those of you who are, I don't know, listen to the show to fall asleep at night, or you're multitasking, you don't want to look at a screen that's burning your eyes, well, you can just listen to the show. And we will, well, listen to the results. I think we get the results today. Well, at least we get most of what's going on. So with that, we have a great source that's non-mainstream, and we're going to try it out for tonight. So that's what we're doing right now. So turn up that dial and let's get into the parlor trick. And go ahead, Mike.
Line pushing back on Biden, they could really halt his agenda. But whether the majority in the House is substantial or not, it's still key here for the Republicans. They have to pick up the House to be able to have that subpoena power, Ed, and be able to go forth on these investigations that they've promised, the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, which we haven't really seen any hearings on in the House. A lot of those oversight issues, they want to look into the Hunter Biden stuff that's leaked, the laptop, for example. They need that majority to at least have the subpoena power to bring in these Biden administration officials and get to the bottom of the issues that they've been saying the American people don't have enough information on.
Nick Balassi, we appreciate your reporting as always, justthenews.com. They call it the laptop from hell for a reason. Matt Gaetz was here a little earlier telling us they're going to be all over that laptop once they get the majority in the House. A lot more they want to investigate. He's talking to FBI whistleblowers. We're going to hear a lot about accountability for the Biden administration in the days ahead. Appreciate your reporting. If Kevin McCarthy comes out, let us know, and we'll come back to you. In the meantime, I want to get to Arizona, guys.
Yeah.
There's a lot developing there. Our Ben Berkowitz was on the ground. He was texting me about it, and then one of my friends was texting me. He's watching online what's happening in Arizona. My friend said, what is going on? Are they cheating again? Because the numbers are not squaring with what the polling was, both in the Carrie Lake governor's race and the Blake Masters Senate race. So let's get to our reporter first, and we can have a big conversation about this. Ben, welcome back. What's happening? Talk about the numbers. They're early, but the early numbers in Arizona and why they may be concerning for Republicans.
Yeah, they are concerning. And I got to say, so 57% of precincts are reporting. And right now they have Kerry Lake down by 184,000 votes. They have Hobbs at 57% and Kerry at 43%. Now, we saw something similar to this in the primary. It was a large gap when the numbers first came out, but these numbers are excessively large. And I got to say, I've been here. I was here for President Trump's 2020 rally or race. I was here for the primaries, and I don't trust the elections in Arizona at all. The issues that we saw today. So a couple things to keep in mind: how much of the outcome, or how much of the problems that the precincts were having? How many people left? I spoke to several people that said we're just giving up. We're leaving. We're not going to wait another 2 hours. We don't believe.
Governor's race, which seems likely, but that's a big House pickup.
Yes, big time. By the way, in New York, it looks like they could have some surprises in these House races right now. So there's on the knife's edge. I think internally they're projecting 20 seat pickup, but there's 20 to 25 seats, 30 seats right on the knife's edge right now. Could go either way.
All right, let's bring in Richard. I know you're there. Richard, you dive deep on the data. Why don't we start with Arizona? Have you gotten a chance to take a close look? Ben ran through it. Right now, Republicans are deeply concerned that both in the governor's race and the Senate race, they're not just down a little, they're down double digits. Have you taken a look?
Yeah, that's the early vote. That initial dump was missing about 100,000 from Maricopa. We did have Lake losing the early vote by about 11 points, but Masters's margin is a little bit bigger than what we projected going into election day. This is the question over those early votes. They're technically mail-in votes, but they are dropped off on election day, and that's a big deal. It really still is. So we really just have to wait on Arizona. It is a bigger margin than I think people would have expected. And I know some people are reacting to that with Nevada out in with Laxalt's race and Lombardo's race. But it's a totally different state, totally different situation. I do have some thoughts. So I really got to put them out there because we had an API issue and it took some time. It's still not totally squared away, but it took some time for me to really drill into this. And there was a concerted effort on behalf of Republicans to try to win back some of these college educated voters that they lost during the era of Trump. And with Trump, the difference with that is he would lose some of them, but he would win non-college, by 30 points. I mean, some ridiculous margin. If you look right now at the exits, which I think will be revised, but I think they're on to something, that the non-college margin is not Trumpian. It's not as big as it is with Donald Trump. Outside of Florida. And I think that's worth pointing out. I do.
Richard, can you talk a minute about the House races in Arizona? You know, it's a 4-5 delegation right now. They were talking about the potential. Andy Biggs thought we might even go 7-2. Can you give us your assessment of these House races?
Yeah, Eli Crane looks pretty good. Biggs has an independent that's in his race. I think ultimately it's going to be very, very close. Let me just check on it one more time, but it looks very, very close. But I think he'll be all right. The one that's really, that I'm looking at with 58% of the vote in, he will need a big romp from Election Day, and it is possible. But it's Schweiker, and part of his district contains some of those burbs in Arizona that some people have said, when it was redistricted, that maybe Schweiker would have a problem with it. And honestly, we didn't really think he would, not this much. But again, it may be the case that this vote comes in, gentlemen, and it wipes that early vote lead down. So we need to see the margin on the election day vote. The mail margin was bigger than we thought. Let's see what the election day margin is. And then let's see how many ballots officials say were dropped off on election day. We're doing our best to try to estimate them. But on the low end, it could be 200,000, 220,000. It could be more. It could be more. And if that's the case, that's a big Republican vote. And I think we're getting ahead of ourselves until we see the margin for it. I really do.
How long, given that it's, 11 o'clock at night here on the East Coast, how long do you think it will take us to get through Arizona? Is that something that's going to go through all night into tomorrow?
If the election probably, even with the margins the way they are, because I suspect, Steve, that election day vote's going to come in and stuff's going to start closing really quickly, really rapidly. We don't know that much about rural areas. It's just the way that it is. We get a lot of information from Maricopa when they do, and Pima. there was a good election day vote in Pima for Republicans. So, I mean, it was honestly, it was probably better than 2020 as far as the share of the party that was voting. So it's if it closes to the point where it's, you know, really close, it's still a point, a couple points. They'll wait because we need to see what officials say is still out. There'll be ballots that arrived and they technically are by mail. There'll be more Republican. And then there are those drop off. And until we get those numbers, those solid numbers, we just don't know. We really don't know. And also, we need the margin for Election Day. Those independents on Election Day were voting very differently than the ones you saw in that drop. Believe me,
Richard,
that's going to be, definitely going to be the case.
Let's talk about a House race in New York, the third congressional district. Steve circled this earlier as one of those Long Island seats that might go red. It's just flipped in the Republican direction. George Santos, he's been on our program in the morning.
That's a big win.
He's at 50.9%. Robert Zimmerman, longtime Democratic National Committee operative, 49.1%. So it's still tight. And there's
have they called it yet? Or
No. And it's 57% of the vote in. So, Richard, it's tight, obviously, but it's swinging a little bit in the Republican direction.
Yeah, that's a coin toss at this point because there is vote still out on both sides. So it'll really come down to how much each side's margin provides because there's about an equal share. That's what's really crazy about that. Who's really in trouble is Malone. Malone is in deep trouble. This would be the first time a sitting DNC chair like this or DCCC chair was knocked out in four decades. So that's real, and there's a lot of that vote in. You can see it, folks. If you look on the map, he's in a sea of blue, and then there's this red blotch where the district is. It jumps right out at you, and it's not really that close right now. It's 10 points. So I would actually argue that's probably going to flip, and that will have reverberations. Even if it's a 20-seat pickup, 25-seat pickup, the big story that he would be defeated. And another one, by the way, Hung Cao. Yeah. I mean, putting on that display in Virginia 10, to be honest, 2-7, I thought they were going to go. Looks like Spanberger held on. But 2, will not. That's a Republican pickup. Hung Cao made that race so close. It was only a last-minute surge from Prince William that put Wexton back over. There's some odd results tonight that I really think highlight what I was saying before. You know, Republicans are doing well in some of these areas where people, you know, didn't expect they'd do as well, and then struggling in some areas of the Sun Belt where they needed that working class margin. Sandy Smith in North Carolina won. She's steadily closing it, but, I mean, she's down to 5 points. She was able to close it to about 5. And there's almost all the vote in. And even with Ted Budd carrying the state, by the margin he did. So, again, we're going to have to look into why that is. And I think
about the Senate a little bit because we've been talking with Wayne Root and others about how the betting odds at least have now swung against the Republicans for controlling the Senate. NBC News now calling Ohio for the Republicans, J.D. Vance, 91% in. He's up 53-46. So it certainly does look like he's got
two.
That's a big win.
Big win.
Trump backed. You mentioned Bud, 4-point lead in North Carolina. That's an important hold for Republicans if he keeps that. But what's your sense of the big picture? There's a lot out there, not just Arizona, but as Wayne Root said, Nevada and Adam Laxalt, which we're not going to know for a while. That Senate seat is big. It's a Democratic incumbent likely to fall.
And they need to hold Pennsylvania. And if we're looking right now, I just took a peek. Mehmet Oz has now closed this from 180,000 vote deficit at about half reporting to about 120,000 or something like that to about 50,000. So the trajectory with about a third of the vote left out is very good for Mehmet Oz. He's going to have to widen it, though, a few points, because we know what's going to happen in Philadelphia. Those ballots now with this ruling are going to keep coming in. There was big turnout in some wards in Philadelphia. So he's going to have to ensure he pads that in Allegheny and in Philadelphia. But, you know, the betting odds have shifted, Ed, and that's a really great point that you brought up. They shifted because they're looking at some of these races, especially Arizona, I think is a big shock to people. I think they expected that to be closer in that initial drop. But Ted Budd looked shaky for a second there. It widened out. Herschel Walker had better than, 66% chance of doing it. And now with 84% of the vote reporting, he's about in a one-point break. So I think people are reacting to some of the exit polls they're seeing. They have been revised since, you know, a couple hours ago. They have been dramatically revised. And yep. People are looking at what they're seeing on the ground, and they're thinking some of these races should have been put away already. If Masters isn't going to win, or that's what they're thinking, I'm not saying he's not, but if, you know, Masters is struggling, then Ron Johnson was seemingly in a race there, right? And now Ron is about a point up or so, almost 2 points up. It looked a little bit hairy there. So predicted betting markets, all these people, they kind of, you know, they react instead of be proactive. So, you know, it's a good way to make money sometimes, folks, I'll tell you. But they were looking at the overall scene, and they were saying maybe Laxalt's not going to pull it off. Looking right now, looks like Laxalt split independents, which is strange. Emerson College had him winning independents by 30. We had him winning them by 20. But if you really look at it, Ed, Republicans have a 6-point turnout edge in that race. So the Republicans actually outnumber Democrats. What I think really happened is that when you're polling somebody, they'll tell you, I'm an independent, I'm a Republican. Self-identification is fluid. And I think in that independent number, there should be more of them. And instead, they're just calling themselves Republicans because there's 39% of the electorate claims to be Republican. I don't really, that's high for Nevada. It's really 33, 34. So I think that's what's going on there. I think betting markets overreacting in Nevada right now. I think Laxalt still has a good chance. And Lombardo appears to have won independent. So there we go. You know, so I think we it won't be over tonight, but I do think that Laxalt and Republicans did what they had to do. But we'll see.
It ain't over until it's over. Somebody said that.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
Let's look at Wisconsin. It was bouncing back and forth for a while there, Richard. And now Johnson, the Republican incumbent, Ron Johnson, you know, it ain't over again, but 68% in. And he's widened the lead a little bit to 1.7%. So that's one that Republicans, again, more to play out, but they got to be a little more comfortable that they can hold that seat.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it, and what I'm seeing at is that there is a lot of blue votes still out. But for the most part, Wisconsin is one of those areas. You have Dane, and Dane actually reports pretty quick. They do. Milwaukee is a you-know-what show, but Dane is almost done. So now that he has a 2-point lead and he's doing fairly well, I mean, he's winning Kenosha by 5. That's what you got to do. Racine is starting to widen out in. This is the wow area. Republicans have got to surround Milwaukee with red count. And that's what we're seeing happen a little bit. At this point, he's actually performing pretty well. There are two counties in the Northwest in Wisconsin that it's the birthplace of progressivism, the labor movement, Ashland and Bayfield. And he's doing pretty well there. So I think it's a close race, but I think Johnson is Wisconsin is always close, but he's doing what he needs to do, or at least it looks like a marginal Republican win. We had him up by 3 there, and that's you know, it's respectable.
If Wisconsin if Wisconsin's trending, let's go back to Pennsylvania because Oz is at 1% now with 82% in.
Yeah, 1.2%. Yeah.
So if you see the trend here of these holds, Nevada and Georgia still give you a chance, two shots to pick this thing up. Of course, Oz has got to pull this out in Pennsylvania. Richard, what's your latest thoughts on Oz?
Listen, this map is shaping up to look like a Hillary Trump map a little bit, and you know better than anybody, Steve, what that map looks like.
You'll see things my way, 'cause you never know.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Anymore, Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
There's a motherfucking killer on the loose, and he'll destroy every single one of you. You better watch it, cause he's looking for your ass now. Better lock all your doors, shut the house down. He's making a list, and he's checking it twice. He was born pissed, and he's ready to slice. His reality ain't like yours and mine. He can shed blood, I hope it ain't mine. He don't give a fuck if you're crying for help.
Bayfield, and he's doing pretty well there. So
dead heat, 49-49.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And guys, our best estimate is that the race is a toss-up.
Yeah. Guys, you're there on the ground. We're reading the numbers. What's the feel there? How are the Walker people feeling? What's the party like? Give us the mood.
Well, Herschel came out, and it sounded more like, to me, using another football analogy, a halftime coach's speech that he was giving everybody. He was definitely pumping people up, but he was ready for a long night, as we are. This is going to be a long one. Like I said the last time we came on, this thing's reminding me of that Tennessee-Alabama game that just wouldn't end almost, until, of course, Tennessee won.
Yes.
But having said all that, with regard to Kemp, I'm pretty pleased because we're going to keep our guns.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. They were just singing Na Na Hey Hey Goodbye because Kemp was declared the winner just before we came on by about 9 points over Stacey Abrams. The difference is, unfortunately, the coattails that Kemp had hasn't really trickled over to Herschel Walker yet. He's got to run on his own. Now, we know he's good at it, and he does not want to do a runoff. But they're both, obviously it's 50% plus one that's needed. You've got less than half a point between the two of them, and that's what we're seeing here. 49.3 was the last that we had heard. Now, statistically, a lot of his insiders that we've talked to have said he can't lose. But the question is, can he get over 50%?
Yeah.
That's the huge question. And like Herschel said when he came out, it might be a long night.
Yeah, that runoff date has already been set for early December, as you know, just about a month from now. Interesting, because it could be a repeat of 2020. You know, you could have a situation where it's 50-49 Democrats
waiting to see if it's going to be 50-50.
How will the Libertarian? The Libertarian will be out. I think the Libertarian's at a point and a half. It looks like he's the swing factor.
Chase Oliver
with the Libertarian out. Does that break 2/3, 1/3 to Herschel Walker?
Should be more Republican votes. Yeah. But what do you guys know about that? Chase Oliver right now has got 2% of the vote.
That's
so you're
killing.
49-49.
Yeah.
That could have gotten Walker to 50+1. To Steve's point.
The Libs didn't vote for the Libertarian, I assure you that.
Yeah.
He was flashing way too many conservative principles. The Libs did not vote for the Libertarian.
It easily could have been the difference, which is what happened in Arizona, and everybody was hoping that with the Libertarian dropping out, that Blake Masters would get a push because the Libertarian did endorse Masters. Unfortunately, we didn't have that luxury here in Georgia. So 49.3%. You got to get to that 50%+1. And as Herschel said when he came out, and Don was equating it to football, it's halftime, and it could be a very long night. And we'll see. But the mood still is very, very good.
All right. That's good to hear. Guys, we'll get back to you. We appreciate it. Want to keep this rolling. Let's go from down south in Georgia up to New York City. We've got David Zier there. Adam Weiss has been there as well. Let's check in first, gentlemen, on the governor's race. You're there at Lee Zeldin headquarters in Manhattan. What's the mood? What do we know about the data?
Well, place is still packed, you know, but Zeldin is behind about 10 points, according to the latest results that have come in, according to Newsday, you know, with 68% reporting. So I don't know how Zeldin makes it up. We're trying to do the numbers and figure it out. There's still like 12 or 13 counties out there. And with the congressional races, you know, it looks like may pick up 4 seats. That's my estimate right now. Adam, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it might be really hard to pick up the votes because Zeldin's down so big. But, you know, looking back, and I just looked at these numbers, since COVID started, New York State lost 500,000 people that moved out of the state of New York. Maybe that's why Florida was such a big red wave, and other states that were such a more wave than New York is really, I think all the voters, Democratic voters, might have just left here. Then the miraculous night that we thought we'd have here may not be shaping up to what we thought it would be. But it looks like we're going to pick 3 or 4 congressional seats, so there's some hope. And there are numbers still coming that need to come from Long Island and upstate New York.
Yeah, I think a hot race to follow. Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's get specific. So New York 3, George Santos, right now over Robert Zimmerman, plus 1.7, 57% of the vote in. So there's a lot of votes out there. So that would be one pickup potentially for the Republicans, New York 3. New York 17, Lawler, the Republican, as you know, over Sean Patrick Maloney right now, winning by 9 points. This is kind of a blowout with 70% in. And then is the third one you're thinking about, guys, New York 19, Molinaro right now, the Republican, is at 50.9. Josh Riley, the Democrat, is at 49.1. Right there you got the Republicans. Again, Molinaro, the edge, but it's tight. 3 big races right there that could go red in the New York delegation.
Yeah, and then Brandon Williams was ahead in the 22nd for a while, but it looks like he's slipping. And then one race to watch is LaRon Singletary up in Rochester, came out of the gate strong, right, Adam?
Yeah, that's a really could be the winner of the night and the pickup of the night upstate New York. But also Esposito in New York 4 is very, very close. I think he's at like close to 48% against the former county executive or town supervisor, Laura Gillen. So that's another one that could be a GOP pickup in Nassau County, Long Island, and part of Queens. So there's possibility to 4 or 5 pickups. Right now it looks good on the 3 pickup congressional seats.
Yeah.
And we need, and nationwide, we need those pickups. The GOP needs those pickups. Right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects. that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Back to you.
There's media from around the world.
That's a really could be the winner of the night and the pickup of the night, upstate New York. But also Esposito in New York 4, it's very, very close. I think he's at like close to 48% against the former county executive or town supervisor, Laura Gillen. So that's another one that could be a GOP pickup in Nassau County, Long Island, and part of Queens. So there's possibility to four or five pickups. Right now it looks good on the three pickup congressional seats.
Yeah.
And we need, and nationwide, we need those pickups. The GOP needs those pickups.
Right. Ed, so back to you. In the
that correctly, that's what it said, 11 p.m.
Stacey
Friday.
Abrams, maybe it was so, all collapsing. She's yelling at her. Kept that a secret over the weekend?
And the AJC reported that they had confirmation from both campaigns that that was the case.
Wow.
Yeah, so very interesting. Yeah, and the other storyline, I'll
this
tell you,
just
that's
goes
interesting.
To prove
just talking with people
I never believe
here.
Anything I read in the AJC.
I was going to say, it just goes to show that Republicans are classier than Democrats. He kept his mouth shut this whole time.
Yeah, we didn't mean to interrupt. Finish your report, and then we're gonna keep it going. Go ahead.
No. Take that with a grain of salt. Absolutely. But the other storyline that's shaping up here in Georgia is that this is a split ticket vote, and people are trying to make sense of that here. And as far as the supporters that are here at the Kemp campaign, because we're seeing him with outperforming Herschel Walker by about 4 points all night, and so people just trying to square that conservatives in Georgia would head to the polls and cast a vote for Brian Kemp, but not cast a vote for Herschel Walker. So people still trying to figure that out. We're going to be watching that very, very closely. But again, they're anticipating Brian Kemp to come out here any minute and make his victory speech here in Georgia.
All right. Carolyn Ryan with some great reporting. We appreciate that. Stacey Abrams, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. She conceded this time. That's a first.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point, too. Wait a second. She didn't concede last time.
She didn't concede last time.
Okay. Good.
To make up for it. Maybe she was conceding about the last time.
Maybe.
Election denier Stacey Abrams.
She got that off a ribbon. Is anybody going to get Gruber back on the phone? I think we got to look back to Michigan.
Yeah. You know, we're going to take a quick break. Yeah. I was just looking at that as well. 4-point spread.
Yeah.
With 35% of the vote in. Whitmer is barely hanging on there. Let's find out what Tudor Dixon's camp thinks. We'll take a quick break. We'll go find Steve Gruber. Maybe he's over, getting a little snack, a cup of coffee.
Maybe.
Steve Gruber, you're up next. You're on deck. Quick break. We're back with this special report live from Washington.
Is rather huge, so the jealousy's quite large. With credit cards and cash stacks, my mind focused on greenbacks. I go and get it, I don't relax. The player hating is to the max. Cush sacks and powder packs, no time to eat, it's just snacks. That's whiskey shots and cognac, getting huffed up like college frats. No exaggeration, just facts. A fascination with paper stacks and masturbating on boppers' backs. They assassinate my player stats, but game sharp like thumbtacks. I go dumb on horse, they chew me up like Orbit's gum. Swallow, and eat black, go kick rocks and eat crumbs. I run from cops, but bar none. I'm in the streets just like a bum. If you don't like it, come get you some. Bowling is big, cause the breath. This time I'ma let it all go.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Tuesday is Election Day, so let's talk about American elections and democracy. I'm Peter Serafin. This week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system and support Freedom Hears Foundation. The U.S. Constitution set up our republic so that you and I, the citizens, only voted for our representatives in the House of Representatives. The president is elected by the Electoral College, and each state makes its own rules about how to award those electorates. It wasn't until 1824, 35 years after this process was established, before the first public vote for president was even recorded. The Senate was originally appointed by your state legislators. That changed in 1913 with the 17th Amendment. Senators are now elected by popular vote statewide, like some sort of glorified member of the House of Representatives. Why this basic history lesson? Because we the people need to remember how important our state house really is. It was your state house that called for and ratified the 17th Amendment. And it's been since the 17th Amendment that our federal government has grown out of control and inserted itself in every aspect of our lives. The state-appointed Senate used to protect states' rights and keep the federal government in check.
Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next week, Sinus Peshem, Parabellum.
Patriots, welcome back to this special report live from Washington. Big news all around the country. Results coming in fast and furious. Let's go live to Ohio. We'll find J.D. Vance declaring victory. Big Senate race. Watch.
We're staying on top of the important stuff. I could not have done this. Could not have won this race. Could not have had what we have here tonight. I mean, look, the governor and the lieutenant governor crushed it. Every other statewide office crushed it. I'm so grateful to Mike DeWine and John Houston. I'm so grateful to Bob Poduchik for helping us cobble together a unified Republican team. And we won. And we won big, ladies and gentlemen. What an incredible thing. Oh, my Lord. And I got to say, of course, I had so much fun going around campaigning with all the statewide officials. I had so much incredible experiences getting to meet people all across the state of Ohio. But thank you to the Ohio Republican Party. We just got a chance to govern. We just got a great chance to govern, and we need to use it. And I promise to all of my friends who are going to be the state house, to all of my friends who are going to be the state capitol, we need better leadership in Washington, D.C., and that's exactly what I promise to fight for every single day. Now, the last couple of words of gratitude here. I have been blessed with an incredible, incredible campaign team. And I can't thank these guys enough, but I want to name a few people by name. The guy who probably spent the most time on the campaign trail the last year and a half, and when we won the primary, I forgot him. Patrick McAllister, thank you for getting us safe to where we need to go. To Jordan, our great campaign manager, Brian, who's the first hire in our campaign. Our incredible comms team, Taylor and Luke. And you guys may have noticed that the national media was very interested in our race. So Taylor and Luke had their hands full. God bless you guys. Thank you. Will Martin and Matt Williams, who did everything that we asked them to do and did it very well. Thank you, guys. Couldn't have done it without you. To Noah Baker, Nick Morgan. And Matt Middlestate, who kept us on time, made sure we got where we needed to go, and made sure we did everything we needed to do. And then I want to thank so much the people helping us build coalitions all across the state of Ohio. And it's such an important job because, of course, now that I'm the senator-elect for the great state of Ohio, We've got a solid foundation, not just to win races, but to actually get to Washington and serve the great people of Ohio. So I got to thank Graham, Jack Mahoney, Caleb, Daniel, Joe, Thomas, and Seth, our incredible field directors. And, of course, Addie, doing great things for us. And I want to say a few words about our incredible financial team, Powers, Angie Strader, Chris Applegate, and Hannah. Thank you for everything you guys did. And finally, let me just say a few things about the three guys who I think constantly were in my ear about what we needed to do, about how we needed to execute this campaign. My dear friend, Jay Shabria, thank you for everything that you did. Andrew Sarabian, a great guy, a Massachusetts guy, but still a good guy. Welcome him to Ohio, ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Sarabian. And I already, of course, thanked Jordan Wiggins. I also want to thank Luke Thompson for everything that you did helping us on the outside. So there's the thank yous. All right, there's the thank yous. Look, I think that we get a chance to govern, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to see what happens across the country. If I'm being totally honest with you, I think that we're going to continue to have some good victories all across the country. We got to see the returns come in, of course. But here's the thing. We've been given an opportunity to do something, and that's to govern. And to govern to make the lives of the people of Ohio better, that's exactly what I aim to do. And because of you, I get a chance to do it. I got a call from Tim Ryan, of course, about a half an hour ago, conceding the election. It was very gracious, and I appreciate Tim making the effort there. Look, I know Tim Ryan. We obviously disagree on a lot of issues. The guy loves the state of Ohio, and I appreciate the gracious phone call. I appreciate the effort that his campaign put in. Thank you. But look, spending time with these guys just a few minutes ago and talking about what an incredible honor it is to get to serve the people of Ohio in the United States Senate. What an incredible honor it is to have gotten to run this campaign. Win or lose, I said it was one of the coolest experiences of my entire life. But now the people of Ohio have given us a job. And what we need to do over the next couple of years, over the next 6 years, for the full length of this Senate term, whoever's in the majority, whatever the president looks like, we have to a very
simple. All right, you've been listening to J.D. Vance. There he is in Ohio. A big win for Republicans. You needed to hold that seat. They still have to make up ground. They just got to make sure they hold Pennsylvania. They have to hold these big seats. And then they also need to flip Georgia, right? You need to flip Georgia or you need to flip Nevada. There's a lot left out there on the field. We're going to update. But I want to throw something else out there, Stephen. This was just shared with us from Long Island. So we hear from Damon from Live from Studio 6B earlier. Great turnout in Suffolk County. A lot of MAGA folks. That could help Zeldin, right? And then we get the story from Newsday on Long Island. I grew up reading this paper. Suffolk County officials delayed publication of 450,000 election night results from state, federal, and local races after a Wi-Fi outage. Oh, boy. Republican Party chair said this Tuesday night, county officials were supposed to upload the voting results on 1,400 memory cards at regional hubs around the county, but instead are driving the cards throughout county polling places to election board headquarters in various places. That cannot be taken because we have limited Wi-Fi right now, this party chair is saying. Steve, in this day and age, we're talking about Maricopa County. They were out of printer ink.
And they had to recalibrate the printers or something.
Now we're out of Wi-Fi. Yes.
Wi-Fi,
Suffolk County.
No Wi-Fi.
And Lee Zeldin
never trust the machines.
Very interesting. Interesting indeed. Let's get to another Real America's Voice contributor, good friend, Kash Patel. He's live in Las Vegas, longtime advisor to Donald Trump as well. Kash, welcome.
Hey, Ed and team. It's great to be with you and live from Nevada here.
All right. It's good to see you. Big hopes tonight. That Laxalt Senate seat, there are other pieces that are not necessarily falling into place for Republicans tonight. Getting Laxalt to flip that Senate race is going to be a big, big deal. Are we hearing anything on the ground, any numbers, anything at all?
Well, the numbers haven't started to come in yet. As you know, we're 3 hours behind the rest of the country out here. But what I've been doing for Adam and so many other great guys like Rick Grinnell and company, we've been campaigning for him for over a year. And we have been saying that Adam Laxalt's going to be the 51st senator. And we weren't just joking around about it or we weren't just punching in the air. We were saying it because we knew these races were going to be razor tight. But Adam has put on one of the best Senate campaigns I've ever seen. And we are really confident with the turnout here. You can see this place is lively. It's packed house already, and the results haven't started coming in. We are hearing rumblings of Washoe and Clark County refusing to count the votes in the registrar's office, but we're looking into that as we speak.
Interesting. What's the mood? Because in the final days, you were there at that rally with Donald Trump a few weeks back in Nevada with Rick Grinnell. It was big because Laxalt, to me, it was a dead heat, and he broke out after that, and so did Lombardo in the governor's race. How high are your hopes as well in the governor's race out there in Nevada tonight? And what does that tell you about Donald Trump's strength within the Republican Party?
Well, I think you can see Donald Trump's strength echo throughout the country. I know you were covering J.D. Vance. I mean, he just won by a large margin, and so did Kemp down in Georgia, almost won by 9 points against the Democratic elite candidate, by their terms, Stacey Abrams. So what we're seeing out here is a literal translation of that. I mean, Donald Trump came out here a couple weeks ago, and then Adam went on this massive bus tour, crisscrossing the state, and his opponent, Kathleen Cortez Masto, basically stayed in one town and barely did any campaigning. That's the Democratic move. And I think what you're seeing here with candidates like Lombardo, who went out there and pounded the ground with Adam, and Sigal Chadha, the state AG candidate, you're seeing the people get engaged at a root level that hasn't happened before. And I think the Democratic process of running a Hollywood-style campaign is coming to an end, because people are sick and tired of crime, of illegal immigration, of narcotics. And I think what resonates most with suburban women in the state of Nevada, as does everywhere else in America, is education, education, education. And these guys have all been pounding on keeping our kids safe and keeping our education where it belongs.
I tell you, what's the status of when we start getting votes? You know, Nevada's a state they keep telling us they're going to take 2 or 3 days. Cash. Walk us through the process when we start seeing numbers, and when is this thing going to culminate and making a call here? Is it going to be later tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon? What's your assessment?
Hey, yeah, great to see you. So, look, we're expecting this state to get called tonight. But what I was just talking to Ed about is what we've getting new information is that Washoe and Clark County, and for those of you that don't know Nevada, those are the two counties that host 80-plus percentage of the population. But let's put this in perspective. Nevada's a state population of 3.5 million people. Florida's a population of 14 million people. They call that race already. Why is it that their registrar's office and their voting contingents can go down there and count votes and Nevada can't? It's not that Nevada can't count. It's that we are now getting rightful information about Washoe County and Clark County Register refusing to count mail-in ballots and putting them on hold because they want to delay the result of this election in the hopes that they can put out Democratic numbers and get the propaganda machine going, just like they have done in every modern election. So we're still hopeful that it's tonight, and we're digging into what's going on in these registrar offices, but it may be late into the evening and up until tomorrow.
Cash, I want to mention something out west where you are, different state, Oregon. Nike's founder, Phil Knight, put a lot of money on the Republican candidate in that governor's race, Drazen, who right now is barely behind the Democrat Kotek. You know, Democrats have owned the governorship in Oregon for decades.
40 years.
And 40 years. And right now, Kotek, the Democrat, is only up by literally 0.88%, just under 1 point. What does that tell you about, and there's more, there's a lot more to be counted, that's 47% in, but when a state like Oregon is trending Republican, America First people coming out, they see these homeless camps, they see the drugs that were legalized in Portland, and there's real deep frustration among the mama bears, the papa bears, and the rest of them. Cash, what's your thought?
No, what you're talking about, what you're describing, is this tectonic shift, because we put America First priorities on the line, front and center. National security, border security, taking on the cartels, defeating the Chinese fentanyl trade that's killing our youth. These are issues that don't resonate just in one or two states. They resonate in all 50 states across this country. And when you hear states like Oregon and the neighboring state, Washington State, where we have Republican candidates in play for the first time in decades, as you noted, that speaks to the tectonic shift that I'm talking about. And it's not necessarily a political one, because what American doesn't want to safeguard their child's education? What American doesn't want to tamp down crime? What American doesn't want to prevent illegals from committing crimes against American citizens? And who doesn't want to take care of our veterans and our law enforcement? These are America First policies. They're not Democrat or Republican. And I think that's what you're seeing in states like Oregon and Washington, and even leaking over into the other side of the country in Vermont and a little bit into New Hampshire. And I think you may have one or two surprises along the way.
Yeah, Cash, it's almost like, you know, the old thing, you have to hit rock bottom before you can come back up. And certainly, you know, our economy and people have been affected at home over the past year and a half, going on 2 years now, in a way that they would have never expected.
Right.
And that's probably pushing them towards doing this. Oregon's a really great example of that. This is something that we wouldn't have expected here. And now you've got these homeless camps, you've got people doing drugs on the street. And is it that in itself what is pushing these voters to come out now?
No, you're absolutely right, and I didn't even touch on the economy. Look at the things that I just outlined. You know, I'm a national security defense law enforcement guy, but what about the economy? Joe Biden has destroyed this economy single-handedly by putting out a radical left agenda. Gasoline, food, basic supplies, school matters, everything has gone up. It costs more money to feed your family, to educate your family, to protect your family, but the problem is none of these Americans are getting more money in their jobs. They're losing their jobs, they're getting less pay, and Joe Biden is not providing an answer for them. So from a fiscal economic standpoint, just speaking domestically, we have fallen off a precipitous cliff. And then let's look overseas. Our dollar has been extremely devalued overseas, and we are being taken advantage by Russia, China, Iran, and everyone else on the international currency front, as they always do when we have a weak commander-in-chief. But it has not been this bad in decades, and I think Americans are learning that the dollar is important domestically, but the dollar is extremely important internationally when it comes to national security, and we don't have it right now.
Cash, talking about playing on blue turf in the Democrat states. New York has been a mixed picture tonight, but as we speak right now, almost midnight in the East, there are three House races where the Republicans are leading, including the Sean Patrick Maloney race by several points. Three potential pickups, maybe more for the Republicans there. We'll watch that. And the governor's race, I want to update people, because an hour or two ago, there was a lot of negativity out there that, well, Zeldin might be done, and maybe he will be. But right now, there's still only 79% of the vote in. And I want to point out that Kathy Hochul's only up 8 points. This is a kind of the governor's race.
With 500,000 votes in storage in Suffolk County.
Right. Who knows? Right. And Cuomo used to win this by 25, 30, 35. Right now it's 8 points and we still have 21% of the vote out there. So we only have a minute left, Cash. But talk about your hopes, because it's a very mixed picture at this hour. You're 3 hours behind us in Nevada. We may wake up to a whole different situation. There's a lot more races out there.
Yeah, it's a great place for me to leave. It is my home state of New York, where I grew up. And as I call my dear friend, the Legend of Zelda, I think he's running a monster campaign. And the fact that we are talking, as you alluded to, in New York about a state that could be 4 points inside the margin of error, that is a tectonic shift in the state of New York. And we are on the verge of maybe picking up 3 House seats. That speaks to our conversation earlier, that Americans across the country are tired of Americans failing policy. And what these candidates have done, what Lee Zeldin has done, is put states that were never in play for Republican and America First priorities. And the fact that he is coming this close and hopefully even winning speaks to the shift that we're seeing across this country. And I think we'll be talking about an even greater win here in the state of Nevada in a couple hours.
Until the threats are eliminated. If you disobey orders, you could be shot on sight by rogue agents, federal forces, and domestic terrorist militias. This is your emergency broadcast system. This is a national alert. Imminent threat is nationwide. You must stay in sight of your homes or risk being shot on sight. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance. This is your emergency broadcast system. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.